tips of the powers and the Gibbs girls. Learning lessons, hosting parties in this modern world. Stick around, a brighter day is guaranteed. Enjoy your time and some etiquette with Emily.
Hello, and welcome to the seventh episode of Etiquette with Emily. I'm your host, Emily Pertzborn. My last episode was a mini-sode about personal charm and personality appraisal. This week is part one of a two-part series all about decorating tips from Dorothy Draper's 1939 book, Decorating is Fun. I will end this episode with a tip of the week on visiting cards from a book I purchased in London last summer called Manners for Men, published in 1897. This two-part series is going to be short and sweet because I'm currently in the middle of a jam-packed work week and I'm headed out to Des Moines, Iowa this coming week to check on some interior design client projects and to spend time at my vacation rental home, Foxcroft Estate. Before I get into it, I wanted to share something I'm currently loving. I've been making a big effort to eat a whole food diet, and in an effort to pack in as much nutrition as possible, I've been making a lot of smoothies. I saw a reel on Instagram that suggested putting frozen cauliflower in your smoothies, and I can honestly say it's been a game changer. It makes the smoothies so creamy. My go-to smoothie has been frozen spinach, mango, half a banana, cauliflower, blueberries, protein powder, collagen powder, spirulina, green powder, chia seeds, ground flax seeds, a splash of kefir, and goat or pistachio milk. Along with smoothies, I've been making an effort to eat a lot more green vegetables and high-quality protein. I can honestly say ever since making this switch, I have had better mental clarity and have been in a better mood. Let's get into some decorating tips. Dorothy Draper is one of my all-time favorite interior designers. Draper started her career as an interior designer in the 1930s. She is known for her bold color and pattern choices and is the creator of maximalism as we know it today. She's the designer of the well-known Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia. I had the privilege of staying at the Greenbrier on my honeymoon, and it was so surreal to see her designs in real life. In 1939, Draper published a how-to book called Decorating is Fun. Today, I will be sharing 10 tips from this book. Number 1. You need courage to experiment, courage to seek out your own taste and express it, courage to disregard stereotyped ideas and try out your own. Redecorating your living room in some new enchanting color or moving great grandmother's wing chair from a right-hand side of the fireplace to the left may sound easy. Actually, it is as drastic a psychological change as it is for a man to change jobs or for a woman to change husbands. I know a very conservative English bulldog who barks furiously if the furniture is disarranged. Many of us feel just that way, although we are unconscious of it. Number 2. The drab age is over. Color is coming into its own again. Until very recently, people were literally scared out of their wits by color. Perhaps this was a hangover from our Puritan ancestors, but whatever the reason, browns, grays, and neutrals were the only shades considered safe. Now we know that lovely, clear colors have a vital effect on our mental happiness. Modern doctors and psychiatrists are convinced of this. Fantastic as it may sound, the doctors in many big department stores actually urge the sales girls, who must wear unrelieved black all day, to carry bright colored handkerchiefs and wear cheerful shades in their underclothes. Number 3. No room can be called perfect unless it has real comfort. It must be livable for you. It must meet graciously every requirement you make of it. A room might be just right for a smart young woman who gets out a great deal and favors delicate colors and white furniture in her home. That same room, no matter how charming, would be miserably unsuitable for a hardy family who kept a Great Dane and two growing boys to romp with him and like to play backgammon in the living room after dinner. Number 4. If you have a room with low ceilings, you can raise the ceiling considerably by the use of vertical lines. Make a mental note to consider striped wallpaper later on. Another trick is to carry the color of the walls or the wallpaper right over the cornice and ceiling. Or, if you want to be slightly startling, paint the ceiling shiny black. It will act almost as a mirror and have the faraway look of midnight sky. Number 5. If your fireplace is off-center, leaving a longer wall space on one side than on the other, remember that fact when you start to arrange your furniture. The best thing to do with your off-center fireplace is to set a good heavy piece of furniture, like a sofa, right opposite. Don't center the sofa on the wall as you would normally do, or it will be out of line with the fireplace and more higgledy-piggledy than ever. When you have lined up the sofa and the fireplace, you can arrange the long end of your room as a square or oblong space with a balanced decorative scheme of its own. Number 6. Remember that there is no such thing as a correct or incorrect color combination. First, select a basic color that you really like. Then decide whether you want to compose a room using just that color, relieved only by touches of the other colors that blend softly because they are of the same intensity, or whether you would want one that contrasts your basic color with another that sets it off. I'll be honest and admit that the contrasting scheme is safer. A room that uses just one color may turn out beautifully, but it is more difficult to foresee the results. By all means, confine yourself to just a few colors in one room. Too many ideas are just as bad as none at all. In the average room, it's usually a good plan not to jumble your upholstery colors. Make all your slipcovers of the same material. Get your contrast somewhere else. Let your guiding principle be simplicity, both in design and color combinations. The whole trend of today is away from fussy, overcrowded effects. And when you think you're all ready to start, gather the samples of every color you intend using in the room in one fist and ask yourself whether you would wear them all in one costume. If you wouldn't, don't ask your room to do it either. Number 7. I don't believe anything in clever decoration can do as much for a room as a glowing fire in an attractive fireplace. As soon as there is a fireplace in a room, the whole room centers around it. Men and dogs love an open fire, and they show good sense. It is the heart of any room and should be kindled on the slightest provocation. I never can understand people who have perfectly good fireplaces and never light the fire, even when expense is no consideration. Personally, I feel that to have a mantelpiece in any room is such an important decorative feature that I would rather have a fire of imitation gas or electric coals than none at all. Number 8. Don't pay too much for your rugs or carpets unless you really have money to burn. So many people have swallowed the salesman's line whole and believe that you must spend a young fortune on your floor or you'll live to regret it. If you follow their advice, I think you are more likely to live to grow tired of it. Personally, I belong to the group of people who like to look up rather than down and would much rather be extravagant about other objects I put on my rug than the rugs themselves. Number 9. A room that is weighted down at one end by a great heavy sofa that is not balanced by similar weight at the other end is an uneasy room. It gives much the same effect as a ship's deck that is heeled way over with one side much higher than the other. Walking on the sloping deck is uncomfortable and insecure. A badly balanced room will give you the same feeling even though you aren't conscious of it. The fact that you have to adjust and keep on adjusting your sense of balance is a continued strain. Number 10. Over curtains, miscalled drapes, should usually fall clear to the floor. A room that has the quality of a log cabin or a country cottage may let the curtains stop at the sill, however. And rooms that want to strike a more luxurious note should have curtains that lie on the floor for 10 or 12 inches. I hope you enjoyed those decorating tips from Dorothy Draper. I will be sharing 10 more next week. And now, a tip of the week about visiting cards from the 1897 book, Manners for Men. It is necessary for every young man to have a supply of visiting cards, and for these, there is one fixed rule, any departure from which betokens want of knowledge of the customs of well-bred people. The size must be exactly 3 inches by 1.5. The pasteboard must be pure white and glossy, and the lettering must be in italic. An idea prevails among young men of a certain class that it is incorrect to put the title Mr. before their own name on a visiting card. This is a great mistake. Not to put it is to show oneself lacking in savoir-faire. The name must always be preceded by Mr. or Sir or other title. The address must occupy the left-hand corner and the name of one's club or clubs must follow it. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast as well as follow Etiquette with Emily on Instagram. Don't forget to send me your questions about anything ranging from entertaining to fashion. You can email them to hello@emilypertzborn.com or message them on Instagram. A huge thanks to my friend Trace for writing and performing my theme song, as well as the insanely talented Holly Holland for illustrating my logo. Once again, my name is Emily Pertzborn, and I believe it's time to put out the fire and call in the cats. Good day to you.
Etiquette with Emily.